Welcome to the fourth episode of Garland County Locker Room, brought to you by the Sentinel Records Sports Department. I'm sports reporter Christian Collins, and today I'll be joined by National Park College's new men's and women's head soccer coach, Kevin Tello, and assistant coach, Grant Gardner. This year marks the inaugural season for both the men's and women's soccer programs at National Park, and Coach Tello brings a wealth of experience to the Nighthawk program. Tello spent time in the University of Arkansas soccer program as director of soccer operations, on the coaching staff at Hendricks College, and the Little Rock Rangers. Tello was also the head coach of Alonia High School, and he played collegiately at Wachita Baptist University. Coach Tello, welcome to the Sentinel Record Podcast Room. How are you doing today?
Doing pretty well.
Awesome. Thank you for coming by. Coach, we talked a few weeks back about the challenge of you getting to personally know all your players with, you know, you're coaching two squads. Just how are you making that personal connection, and how have you handled that challenge so far?
I think a huge aspect that Grant and I do every day is that we make sure we take a couple minutes before and after training to just talk to them individually. A lot of them are getting comfortable enough now where they'll just come up to our office during the day and hang out for a little bit, or just shoot us a text, just wanting to have these conversations with us that are outside of the game of soccer, you know, what's going on in their lives and different things like that. That's kind of cool to kind of be a part of.
Yeah, and this is the first year of NPC soccer in history. Just what other challenges come with building a brand new program?
The biggest one is just obviously field. The game yesterday was kind of exciting because we kind of had to work on the fly. The field we had lined up didn't work out, so we kind of had to call some people around and see where we could actually have this game, and Hot Springs Baptist was amazing. It was a great first venue, and I think that is what we're leaning on towards the rest of the season, is kind of partnering with them to see if we can make that our home field.
Yeah, and I know you're just a few weeks into training and your first few games, but what kind of culture are you trying to build at your program, not just on the pitch, but, you know, surrounding the team on and off the field?
Yeah, on the field, we definitely want to win. And that's something that Jason Hudnall, the athletic director, liked about me in the interviewing process. He asked me, in 5 years, where do you see yourself? And I told him, I see a National Park winning regional championships. And that's really what drives me. And again, Grant would kind of attest to everything that I do is for these kids to not only get their education, we have a lot of first-generation college students, but to help them succeed, help them find a place after their 2 years here to go Division II, Division I, NAI, whatever it may be. And then off the field, a lot of these kids do come from rough backgrounds. So just helping and shepherding them along to, like, you know, pick up a piece of trash. It's not the biggest thing in the world. If you see some trash on the floor, pick it up, throw it away. It's just being a decent human being. And then taking care of business in the classroom. Those are kind of the three things that we try to instill in them.
Yeah, and something you said to me after the Rose State matches really stood out to me. You talked about some players having the idea that JUCO is kind of glorified high school, but it's really not. Can you just explain that aspect of JUCO and what challenges come with playing in JUCO?
Yeah, so I think kind of the TV and the media have portrayed the idea of Division I being the best of the best, when that's not really true. I've seen plenty of Division I teams that could lose to very, very good Division III teams. I mean, I've been a part of those games where Division III teams, and I look at them and, you know, they are better than some Division I teams in this country. It's really about preference, where these players want to go. It's really about cost. And with JUCO, it is significantly about cost and then academics. A lot of these kids that I have, you know, they're 18 years old, competing with 24-year-old international men that are in JUCO that chose us because they didn't want to go be the 27th person on a Division I roster. They wanted to come and play immediately, develop, and then go D1. And it is a tough battle to face. I had a lot of guys afterwards just tell me, like, I didn't realize, like, they were going to be at that level. But after our conversations, after the game, everyone's kind of settled in, and they know the level that we're going to be at, the level we need to be at to turn things around.
Yeah, that kind of goes perfectly into one of my later questions. Your teams have played a couple of games each already. Just what do you think they have learned from those first few matches in program history?
On the guy side, they've definitely have built that chemistry. 11 players that have never played together. Two or three that maybe were teammates in club and things like that. But for the most part, 30 guys that have never been on the same team, first time ever. We're kind of hitting bumps on the road, and we're figuring it out as we go. And they're kind of, again, settling into realizing we're in a special spot to make history. And I think that's what the guys are learning is like everything and everything we do every day is to, you know, make history, whether it's the first person to pass an exam as a soccer player or the first person to score a goal. That's kind of what their thought process is. On the girls' side, they're starting to realize this isn't high school. And I think they're one of the biggest ones that kind of had that mindset that they were the big fish in the small pond at their high schools. And now here, everyone's just as good or better, right? These two teams we played on the women's side have great programs, great historic programs, and the women kind of got shocked about it. They thought they were going to be in a good spot when the season started, and they've kind of come to us and have asked for extra training sessions and extra work on the field to meet that level and meet that standard.
Yeah, and on the women's team, I kind of wanted to highlight goalkeeper Brooklyn Thorman. After covering the Rose State match, I heard her constantly talking to her back line throughout the match, made a few saves. What can you say about her play and her leadership so far?
Brooklyn's an incredible leader, and she's an incredible, incredible goalkeeper. She definitely has some things that she needs to work on to kind of break into that next level, and we've had those conversations with her. But, I mean, she has been huge for us. You know, some of these games that have gotten out of hand could have been worse if we didn't have her. But she is doing everything, you know, off the field that we need from a leader. She's bringing them together, having them work out. And just spending that time with them to make them better as well. Because she understands the importance of this is college soccer. We're all here to, at the end of our 2 years here, go and continue playing. So she's incredible to have.
Yeah, and as a goalkeeper, you know, how do you kind of help her balance that psyche of, you know, when you let in a goal, I'm sure it hurts, but to get back up and be that leader right away?
She has struggled the first couple of scrimmages that we had because we did get scored on a few times. We've had conversations with her to just organize her back line. And that's why Thursday at Rose State, she did a fantastic job because she realized if our back line isn't organized, they're going to have more shots on her. What I told her is if she makes a mistake in goal, whether it's a save that goes between her legs or hits her hands and goes in, that's something that we need to address with her. If a shot gets across, that is something we need to address with the defense. And that's kind of helped her realize, like, if a goal goes in, it's not necessarily entirely my fault, which is what most goalkeepers believe. It's how do we address the initial problem that caused the shot? And she's starting to kind of build her soccer IQ a little bit more when it comes to that as well. Like, what was the underlying problem, not what was the end result? So she's been doing good about that.
Yeah, and can you highlight any other players on the women's team, you know, that have had a good start to the season or really look to take a leadership role on the field?
Yeah, Yesenia is our captain. Yesenia on the field is our captain, and she does it by every definition. On and off the field, she is the first one that we thought of when we were picking captains. And then another person would be Samantha Mata. Samantha Mata has played 180 minutes these two games that we've played. She is one that we definitely need on the field, and the rest of the team knows that as well. So those two players have been huge for us.
Yeah, and I wanted to highlight Adrian Quintero on the men's team, a player that has experience internationally and for the Little Rock Rangers. Just what does that kind of bring to the team, and what can you tell us about him?
Adrian's funny because I texted him when I started recruiting him, and he was a 17-year-old kid, and he had no idea what he wanted to do with his life. And as I evaluated him, as I talked to him, you know, it was getting ready for the summer and I was getting ready for my Little Rock Ranger season. And I was able to kind of send some of his videos, send some of the information to the powers that be with the Rangers, and they fell in love with him. And they knew that he is a diamond in the rough, and we definitely need to work on some things for him. He could easily be a player that could be at the next level. But what he brings is just a maturity at 17, 18 years old that most of these kids don't have because he's experienced that level. He knows what it takes to be a professional soccer player. He hasn't achieved that yet, but he's trained with people at that level. So being able to have him for some of these players to lean on is huge because they ask him for advice, they go and work out together, and they see him and they recognize, okay, that's where I need to be if I want to have a chance to one day play professionally.
Yeah, and just the same question for the men's team. Could you highlight any other players, you know, that have had a good start to the season or have looked to take a leadership role on or off the field?
Yeah, Xavier Marquez, our captain, again, goalkeeper. He is fantastic in goal. He, again, has some things to work on. That's why he's here. Fix some things academically, fix some things athletically, but he is definitely a Division II, Division I caliber goalkeeper. The other player that I think is definitely huge would be David Montelongo. He sits in that sixth spot as a holding midfielder, and he does not lose the ball. That ball is stuck to his foot, and he's kind of the general of the team. He's very silent, which is kind of his downfall, but when he has the ball, everyone knows that we can give a sigh of relief because he is going to do what we need to with the ball. Anyone, you think?
As far as off the field, Javier has been huge, one of our older guys on the team. He's definitely a leader, brings people around. As far as in the locker room, off the pitch, he's kind of the guy like showing the way to, you know, like these 17, 18-year-old dudes that we have on our team.
Yeah, Javier Reyes is one of our transfers from Division III college in Boston. He played in the Division III national tournament, so he has a lot of experience when it comes to that. He's 20 years old, so he is the oldest player we have. He hasn't really been seeing minutes, but he takes care of business off the field, whether it's giving these guys advice, helping them set up their classes, helping them learn how to study, because that's a huge part of it is that first semester, freshman year, a lot of these kids have no idea. They've been home, you know, their entire lives. Now they're by themselves. So learning how to time manage, he's been huge when it comes to that as well.
Yeah, and Coach, I don't know how much of your tactics you want to give away, but just what kind of, you know, system or formation, if you can talk about it, or give us a general idea with both teams, have you trying to been implement?
Yeah, with the guys, we're running a 4-3-3, a 1-4-3-3, I guess, with the goalkeeper. Xavier's okay. But we really want to initiate a very balanced style of play, especially at the college level. What was frustrating is most teams see us break lines into the middle third and then play a ball over the top, or a ball into a channel, and they think that's all we do. They think we're just kicking it and we're just lumping it. But no, they don't understand that. We literally broke the lines from your forwards to your midfielders, and then we went forward. We found the space in behind your defenders. And that's really what we're trying to do. We're trying to build up through the defensive third into the middle third, and then the middle third send that final ball that gets us into the attacking third. And then from there, we get plenty of opportunities, whether it's service or whether it's a shot. And then defensively, we want to keep numbers behind the ball. That's our biggest thing, and I feel like that's one of the things that we struggled with yesterday, especially the first 5 minutes when we struggled so bad. We weren't able to get numbers behind the ball and keep them in front of us. So, I mean, we want a fun style of play. We want a 4-3-3 where our wingers are overlapping and getting into the attack, where our, you know, center mids are joining the attack, where even our center backs are joining the attack. We want to score goals, and we want to do it the right way. With the women, we are trying to just try to keep the ball out of our own half as much as possible, honestly. We have the players that can do it, but they're still adjusting to the speed of play. If you go back and watch the first two games, we lost the ball a lot in the middle third, and that's just because their thought process is still a little too slow. We're trying to speed that up in training. We're trying to speed that up in different things, showing them film and talking to them and just having positional play. But the biggest thing for the women is just being able for them to understand that pretty soccer doesn't always win you soccer games, and that's college soccer. Sometimes you have to play a direct ball into a channel and have someone run onto it in order to survive some games. Not necessarily that we're trying to survive, but at this level, most of these girls that we play against are Division I transfers, and whether it was their academics or financial stuff, they can play, and we can play as well. We just have to get out of this mindset of high school soccer.
Yeah, and before I let you go here, Coach, just a bigger picture question. Hot Springs is a growing soccer town. You know, the Hot Springs Soccer Association, they're doing a lot, partnering with the Little Rock Rangers and stuff like that. And the state of Arkansas, the sport's just kind of growing a little bit too. How can National Park College's soccer program influence that growth of soccer, not just in Hot Springs, but the state as a whole?
We definitely want the state to know that we are a premier junior college soccer program. And after, you know, our win on Monday against a four-year Division II institution, I got a lot of texts that said, hey, you players are being looked at. Like, hey, the state of Arkansas is watching you guys. Especially on the men's side, you know, that was a huge result for the men. And being able to just do that and for people to realize we might have players here that can go play and continue to go play. And like I mentioned in the first interview, like the ideal is for them to then stay here. You know, they graduate, they go to a 2-year or 4-year institution, they finish their bachelor's degree, and then they get coaching jobs or they get a good job in Little Rock or Northwest Arkansas, and they stay within the state and then continue coaching in the youth systems. That's the ideal. With the Little Rock Rangers, it's the same thing that we want. You know, we have some players that we're having our eye on them. Obviously, Adrian's one of them. But just being able to have that player pool is massive. Being able to provide the state of Arkansas with a higher caliber of soccer. And I think Grant could attest, like, the soccer that we're playing, the soccer that we played yesterday on the men's side, is the highest level of soccer Hot Springs has seen ever. And it's the same thing the Little Rock Rangers tried to do in Little Rock. It's the same thing Ozark FC tried to do in Springdale. So we definitely want to bring high caliber players here, and not necessarily in Arkansas, but just in the country, show them that Arkansas is a soccer state.
All right, awesome. Thank you to both of y'all for stopping by today. Thanks for tuning in to our episode highlighting National Park College's new men's and women's soccer programs. Our next episode will be released Thursday, September 2nd, as sports editor James Lee and I will preview two intriguing football games for teams in the county. If you like our content, please consider subscribing to this podcast to have it delivered to your device as soon as it becomes available. You can find Garland County Locker Room on Apple Podcast, Amazon, and Spotify.